The subject is that of devotion. Devotion. What is devotion? If you look up that word in the dictionary, it means to be loyal, to be committed, to be dedicated to a particular thing or person. Perhaps you've heard of certain people being devoted to their spouse, to the person that they're married to. What that means is they forsake all others. Sometimes people say that in their marriage vows, that they are going to forsake all others and devote themselves or give themselves completely to this person whom they're marrying. Of course, some of you young people recognize that people don't always keep those commitments, do they? Sometimes they make a commitment at the marriage altar, but they're not truly devoted to their spouse because though they say, for better or worse, when things get worse, what do? They leave the person they're married to. That's not a good illustration of being devoted to your spouse. Sometimes you may hear someone refer to someone else being devoted to a particular sport or to a particular sports team. By the way, did you know that St. Louis Cardinal fans all bleed red? All right, don't laugh. Everybody bleeds red. All right, just so we're straight on that. But it's funny to me, when you look at your veins, the blood is blue on the inside. So maybe while it's in there, it's a Cubs fan. I don't know. But sometimes you'll hear that. Somebody is devoted to a particular sports team. I mean, my family, we're not real sports-oriented. I mean, if we had a favorite sport, and I'll talk about that in a minute, it would be wrestling. But there are no professional wrestling teams. And so my children, they kind of pick sports teams based on different things. You know, not who's the best. Not because they're from the state of Indiana. We don't even have a baseball team in Indiana. AAA, we don't even have a professional baseball team, but that's all right. We're not real big baseball fans. Brianna, her favorite color is green. You probably have noticed that this week because that's all she wears. You know where her clothes are in the closet because there's a green section. And they're all on green hangers. And if you look at her desk and pull it open, there's a green eraser and a green pencil and a green pen and green notepad and a green purse. Everything's green. So who do you think she likes when it comes to football? How about the Green Bay Packers? She couldn't name anybody on the team, but they are green. And by the way, she likes cheese, and they have cheese heads. She's got a cheese head. It's not because she's devoted, though, to the Green Bay Packers. It's because she likes cheese. All right. Whatever suits you. But you know, sometimes when people are involved in a particular sport, they devote themselves to it 100%. They give it their all. They live and they breathe that particular sport. Even the Apostle Paul said something about this in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," in other words, he's striving for a trophy, for a crown, for a medal. It says he's temperate in all things. In other words, he exercises self-control. He gets up in the morning and jogs to exercise, to get his body in shape. He goes to practice in the evening. If he's in baseball and he's a hitter, he has the pitcher throw one ball after another, after another, after another, and he just consistently practices on hitting that baseball. If it's a basketball player, he spends hours in the gym every day shooting a ball into a hoop so that he can make it every time. He devotes himself to that sport. I told you my favorite sport. You've heard me talk about it. I'm sorry I talk about it all the time. It's wrestling. And it's not the, WWF stuff, all right? I'm talking about high school, college wrestling. Anybody remember who Mr. Wrestling is? I've talked about him before. Not this week. Nobody knows Mr. Wrestling? Tim?
Brad Hart.
That earns you brownie points, but that's not right.
You know the capital of wrestling? You know where it's at? Tim?
Ohio?
Iowa. They both have four letters. It's close. And they both start with the vowel. Iowa is the capital of wrestling. Mr. Wrestling is Dan Gable. He won two national titles, was undefeated in college until his final match, where he was beaten by someone he would beat pretty soundly later to win an Olympic gold medal. One of his athletes was Tom Brands and Terry Brands. They were brothers. They were twins. They both won gold medals. They both now are coaches for Iowa University. They have won three of the last four NCAA national championships. See, I know a little bit about wrestling. It's about one of the only things I follow besides the Bible anymore. But he used to have some strange techniques. He would push his wrestlers and push his wrestlers and push his wrestlers until they couldn't go no more. He would sit as the coach there beside the wall as his men were drilling, as his athletes were drilling, and he'd say, "Okay, boys, one more time, give it all you got." Because he didn't want them holding anything back. He wanted them to be devoted to the sport. And so they'd give it all they got. And he'd say, "Okay, boys, just one more time. Give it all you got." And they'd give it all they got. And he'd sit there and he'd eat apples during this and he'd throw it at them. The time would expire and he'd say, "Good job, boys. Let's do that one more time." And some of them would get frustrated. Matter of fact, one time one of his athletes stood up and said, "Coach, you're a liar! You told us one more time!" But he wanted them to get out on that mat, and when they got on that mat, he wanted them to be able to whoop that other guy and to wrestle as hard as they could from start to finish. I tell you what, I've seen some of the wrestlers come out of Iowa University, and I'll tell you what, those guys do not stop wrestling from the time that that whistle blows until that match is over. They're devoted. Devoted. Terry Brand said to his athletes that are there now, "I don't want you guys thinking about in season and out of season. The whole year is wrestling," he said. "The whole year. There's a man that is devoted to a sport." And I'm not necessarily condoning that. I'm just helping to illustrate to you what it means to be devoted. Sometimes people are devoted to a cause. Some people are devoted to trying to cure cancer, and they give their life to that. Some people are devoted to the cause of autism. I had one Facebook friend. He's not my friend anymore. I don't know why. The only kind of people that ever unfriend me are the ones that don't believe the Bible. But he was, every time he would post, and can I say this? This is the second time I've mentioned Facebook. And I don't want you to hear Pastor Potter as saying it's okay for you to be on Facebook. I'm on there for primarily one purpose, and that is to witness to people. If you're on there and you see my postings, you know they come out every Monday. And all it is a little mini message to get people to think about scriptural truth. That's why I'm on there. For most people, it is a complete waste of time. For most people, all it is an attempt to draw attention to self. And any time we're drawing attention to ourself, it is pride and it is sin. So don't think I'm condoning this. But I had this friend, and he would post 10, 12 things a day, all having to do with autism. And I can partly understand why. He has a child that is autistic. And he's devoted to teaching people about autism and how they might prevent it in their own children. Devotion is the subject tonight. And in our text, we see an example of someone who exhibits devotion. But it is not a devotion to a spouse. It is not a devotion to a sport. It is not a devotion to some specific cause, but it is a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to point out three things about this woman's devotion tonight. The first of which is the cost of devotion. It says that this woman, and her name is Mary, she had an alabaster box, and it was very precious. And she took that alabaster box, and she broke it and poured the contents upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that may sound somewhat strange to some of you, because we don't really hear of alabaster boxes today. Let me try to explain what it might have been. You know, each time our daughters reach a certain age, we give them what is called an alabaster box. It's a bottle, a cube, a package of some sort that is filled with perfume. And this is something that they are supposed to cherish and to keep and to protect until they get married. It's a reminder for them to keep themselves pure, because the first time that that box, that bottle of perfume, is to be opened is on their marriage night. And then they'll take and use that perfume. It's a reminder to be pure. It's a reminder of a day that can be very, very special if they will just exercise restraint until they get married. And perhaps that's the type of alabaster box that Mary possessed. But it was an ointment. It was a perfume that was very precious. And in part that means it was very expensive. It says in our text that it was worth 300 pence. 300 pence, just to kind of give you some kind of perspective, because they didn't go on dollars and cents back then. Some of you know the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember the man that fell amongst thieves, and the Samaritan came and helped him out and put him in a hotel, and he gave the hotel keeper 2 pence to take care of the man. And he said, if he spends any more than that while I'm away, when I travel back through, I'll give you that too. That kind of gives you some kind of perspective on how much a pence is. People say that 1 pence was a day's wages. That's what you would earn for working all day. This was 300 pence. So this is what a person would earn in about a year's time. Now, I don't know what the average salary of someone in America is today. I would guess it's somewhere around $40,000. I'm sorry if you don't make that much, folks. I'm happy for it if you make more, though. But imagine that. Here's this ointment, this alabaster box and its contents worth $40,000. And what does she do with it? She pours it on the head of Jesus. But there's more than just a monetary value, more than just money that it cost this woman. You know, if she had that alabaster box for the same reason my girls have theirs, you know what? She had high hopes and dreams and plans with that alabaster box. She looked at it each morning when she arose there in the bathroom and said, you know what? That is something that me and my future spouse are going to use on our marriage night. And so to her, it was something that, yes, was very precious, not just because of the money, but because of what it meant. Or if it was something she used every day, it was something that was going to keep her smelling good for a long time, lady. And she just got rid of all of it. Now she might go around speaking all the time. And I know for you boys, that wouldn't be a problem. But for a girl, they want to smell pretty. I'm simply saying, this woman devoted herself to Jesus Christ, and it cost her something. It cost her. And you know what? If you are going to devote yourself to Jesus Christ, it may very well cost you something too. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it may cost you your friends, boys. Because if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come in contact with your friends, you're going to want to tell them about Jesus. And they might not like that. I like Pastor Valentin's story. When he was young and his friend came over, can I play with your G.I. Joe? And Pastor Valentin, who wasn't a pastor then, but is spiritually minded, he said, well, if you get saved. When he told that story, I just thought, I bet God was up on his throne just laughing. He probably said, bless his heart. He didn't do it exactly the greatest way, but he was concerned about his friend and his friend's soul. And you know what? If you're concerned about your friend's souls, you're going to want to tell them about the Lord. And you know what? Some of them may get tired of that. And they may stop being your friend. Are you devoted to Christ enough to forsake your friends if that's what's necessary? You may have to forsake popularity because it won't be considered cool to follow Jesus Christ. Some of you may have to forsake money and prosperity because you know what? Those who serve God with their lives are not always the most wealthy people. Pastor Hendricks, he doesn't have a bag of money. But he's devoted to serving his Savior. It may cost you your dreams, your plans, your goals. Are you willing to pay the price? I hope you are. When you're devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, the cost, it won't matter. It won't matter. Notice secondly the criticism of devotion. The criticism. Notice how the disciples that were there responded. Verse number 4. And there were some that had indignation. That means they were mad. They were mad within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Why? What's this woman doing? She just wasted a whole bottle of perfume. You know, it says in one of the other gospel accounts that Judas, he was a thief, and he said that because he wanted to keep the money for himself. But he wasn't the only one criticizing Mary. So were all the other disciples, evidently. They said, why is this woman wasting this perfume? We could have sold it and given it to the poor. This is what I hear them saying over and over again as I read this text. She went too far. That's what they said. She went too far. I mean, we're following the Lord Jesus Christ too. We're saved. But we would never waste a whole bottle of ointment on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a waste. That's just going too far. That's a little extreme. That's what they were saying about this woman. She went too far. But you know what? I can think of a lot of other people in the Bible who probably went too far. How about David? Young David, when he comes on the scene and the Israelites are fighting the Philistines, and he says, I'll fight that giant, Goliath. I'll chop his head clean off. And his brothers are saying, David, I think you've gone a little too far. I think you've lost your mind. You're just a boy. You can't fight a giant. That's what King Saul told him. You'll get your head chopped off. People thought he went a little too far. How about Naboth? He's one in the Bible who refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab. Refused. He said, I won't. Ahab wanted it, and he went to Naboth multiple times, and Naboth says, no, I cannot sell you my vineyard. The Lord forbid me. And people probably thought to themselves, he's going too far. I mean, this is the king. Sell it to the king. But he knew that God told him he couldn't. How about Abraham when he offered up Isaac? His son was about to offer up his son Isaac, took the knife, raised it into the air before the Lord stopped him. If there would have been anybody watching Abraham there, I'm sure they would have said, Abraham, you are going too far. You're just a little too extreme. A little too fanatical. You know, if you devote yourself, young people, 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be those who criticize you. There are going to be those who tell you you're going too far. You know, sometimes people say that to me. You'll notice my daughters, my wife, the only thing that they ever wear is a dress. And we do that because of what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, that women are to adorn themselves, they're to wear modest apparel. They're to cover their bodies, they're to wear loose-fitting clothing, not drawing attention to their bodies. That's not what a godly woman does. And we also realize, being in the Lord's service, that we've got to have the highest of standards as not to offend anybody. And so, that's all my girls, that's all my wife wears. And sometimes people say, "Preacher, you just go too far. You don't have to do that." No, I do have to do it. And sometimes people are critical of people who have dress standards. Sometimes people are critical of those who will not listen to rock and roll music, who will not listen to country music, who will not listen to any other music than that which is sacred, than that which is wholesome. Sometimes people tell me, "Preacher, you go too far. There's nothing wrong with that music." But there is something wrong with it if it's fleshly. Rock and roll music, you know what it's doing? It's letting loose. The whole idea is, throw off restraints and live your life however you want. There's something wrong with that kind of music. And you know what? If you listen to Lady Gaga or Ja Ja or however you say her name, and Katy Perry and Justin Bieber, you need to take that music and you need to throw it in a trash can for the cause of Christ. Because I'll guarantee you, none of their songs lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And if music does not lift up the name of Jesus Christ, it's probably not appropriate. But some people would say, "Preacher, you're going too far." Listen to me. If they would take all of the popular music today and they would throw it in the trash can and all the popular music would just cease to exist, I don't think that any of us would be any worse off today. If they would take every Hollywood movie and every Hollywood producer and just throw them in the trash can and forget them, hey, if they'll just take every television set and throw it in the dump, I don't think any of us would really be any worse off. But they say, "Preacher, you're going too far." That's what they said to Mary. They said, "Mary, you're going too far. How in the world can you go too far for Jesus? He gave everything. He gave His life. He shed His blood that we might go to heaven. How can you go too far for Jesus?" I don't think you can. But boy, when you devote yourself to the cause of Christ, and you determine that you're going to do right no matter what, there are going to be people who criticize you, and there are going to be times in your life where you begin to doubt and you begin to wonder and you say to the Lord, "Am I going too far? Am I too extreme? Am I turning off the world when I'm supposed to be winning them? Lord, am I doing something wrong?" And you may begin to doubt yourself and think maybe you are going too far, but I would point you to the words of Jesus Christ, because folks, I don't care if the whole world is opposed to you, if the whole world is critical to you, even if all of Christendom is critical of you. You know what? The only voice that really matters is the voice of Jesus Christ. And He said to this woman, and He said to His disciples, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's done a good work. She's done a good work." And I don't know if you young people can grasp that. But when you grow up, if you devote yourself to Christ, and you begin to be criticized, and you begin to doubt yourself, when you read this text, I hope it brings you encouragement. Jesus said she's done a good work. Jesus said everywhere this gospel is to be preached, what this woman has done is going to be repeated. And so here I am tonight, preaching on this text. about what this woman has done. You know, Jesus gives many positive comments, many commendations to people in the Bible. He calls Cornelius' faith great. We saw that Monday. He calls Abraham faithful. John the Baptist, the greatest among women. But Mary's commendation, Jesus' words to her, stands out above and beyond all of those. And he says everywhere that the gospel is to be preached, what this woman has done will be mentioned as well. Folks, you may think I'm a little extreme sometimes. You may think I'm a little crazy, that I'm a little too far to the right. I hope not. I don't think I am. I don't really think you can go too far for Jesus. I just don't think it's possible. I probably shared with you before, in past years, probably about the time I was at this camp, Camp Huber, the first time in 1996. It probably got me fired up so much I went back to my classes at ITT Technical Institute. And we had a little break in our class. And I stood on one of the chairs and I began to plead with the other students to trust Christ as their Savior. The teacher humored me for a little bit. And he finally laughed and said, "Brad, get down."
I'm sure they thought I was a little extreme.
But I hope I never get over that. I hope I'm always that extreme, and I hope you are too. I hope you're devoted.
Devoted to Christ. Let me ask you two questions and then I'll close. Number one, if you are saved, will you then be completely devoted to Christ? Again, notice there were disciples who were critical of Mary. You know what? If you're convicted at the zeal of other people, don't criticize them. You bless God for them and pray that you might have the same kind of zeal. But for those of you, especially you junior age kids, if you're here and you're not saved, will you be saved? And then will you devote your life to Jesus Christ? There's a cost many times associated with that. There's criticism that comes along with it as well sometimes. But it will all be worth it one day when we stand before Jesus Christ and He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You so much for what this text means to me. And God, I pray that some might take it for themselves tonight. I pray, God, that we would not be afraid to completely devote ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. God, no matter what the world or the Christian community says of us, might we give ourselves to the service of our Savior and King with our whole hearts. Lord, may we only be concerned about one voice, and that's the voice of our Savior. Lord, if there is a young person here tonight that still is not saved, God, bring them under conviction for their sin. May they turn from it and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, use the message for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people. Use it to save the lost, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.